You're listening to Am I the Bowlcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering, the trading card game, out there at all, ever, even one bit. And if you showed me otherwise, I don't believe you. Too bad. That's just how this goes. Just kidding. We know we're part of many podcasts. Look, is this the right time to be doing a bit off the top without introducing my co-host? No. So why don't we do that? Let's introduce me first. I'm your host, Mike Carrozza. You might also know me as Mark Carbonza, but please stop calling me Mark when you're submitting your stories. I'm trying not to use that name anymore. But thank you for writing in. What a tightrope to walk immediately. I don't know what I'm doing to myself today. Anyway, I'm your host. This is Am I the Bowlcast. It's based on my column, Am I the Bowlus, at CommandersHerald.com. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Morgan Sanchez. Hi, Morgan.
What's up? Not Mark, actually, Mike, that for political reasons is incredibly testy, so we should be using his government name, which is Mike Carrozza.
Correct. Actually, we shouldn't get into it, but that's not actually my real name. I'm not going to reveal it. It's Pablo. I'm kidding. Could you imagine me as a Pablo?
Somebody could, and it wouldn't be good for you.
Uh-oh. A couple weeks ago, something happened, and we're not happy about it. That's about it. We're not going to get too much deeper into that. We're going to talk about Magic the Gathering, the card game that we love so much that we started a podcast about it. If you haven't gotten the memo, no, we're not joined by Michael Solani this week again because he's no longer on the podcast because we have changes to the podcast coming soon. We got to work out the logistics and figure all that out. But ultimately, scheduling and all that stuff that comes with...
Well, full disclosure, I know that Mike is trying to make it sound like, you know, we kind of just had like a gentle let off of Solani. But the truth is that he did fall into the rat hole. Being out here in Chicago means that we need to be a bit careful where we're walking and look where we step. And unfortunately,
you can't fall into the rat hole.
Solani and I were having a hell of a time and he fell into the rat hole. And
which is
unfortunately
crazy.
Yeah, it's infinite and endless. We cannot find him. And it has been paved over. So I don't think that he even exists anymore.
Well, you know what? Actually, he does exist. We took him safely to the hospital. He's fine. He just fell into the rat hole. We recovered him from the abyss. There's a little door in the abyss. I don't know if anybody else knows about it.
I was Solani wondering who was writing the Howie Brewitt articles the past couple weeks. Because I was
it was Solani.
I'm glad something, we figured that out. Yeah.
You think somebody else has a brain like that for brews like that? That's crazy. Michael Solani, shout out Games Freak SA, still friend of the show. Make sure you go give him a little poke and say, we're happy you're out of the rat hole. And he'll know what it means, because of course he will. You know what's funny is when I go to Chicago, I stay with the guy who's the rat hole guy. Like, Winslow Dumain is a friend of mine, and I stayed with him last year. I'm probably going to, if I come to Chicago, if I can make it to Chicago, probably going to be staying with him again. Anyway, that's just like a fun little connectivity thing there.
Winslow Dumain is like a rat hole guy name. Like, that sounds like a superhero. I mean that in the nicest way.
It sounds
superhero.
Regal.
It sounds rat kindred is a thing in Commander. So, I mean, you know, something he's got to do.
You know what? You know what? I think on Maronaro's birth certificate, it says Winslow Dumain. How about that? Anyway, we are off the rails. We haven't spoken to each other in a little bit. It's been a while, right, Morgan? It's been a couple weeks.
Yes.
You're back home.
Yes.
We are back at it. We have people calling in for the show later. We're expecting them this time. Can you imagine how much time it saves a show to know when your guest is calling in? What a beautiful thing. Anyway, before we get too deep in to the conversation topic that we're hoping to have, I do want to address our sponsors. I think, hey, sponsors, you listening up? First of all, thank you. Second of all, shout out to you, buddy. Cardsphere.com remains a proud sponsor. Look, I said proud. I don't know if they're proud of it, but I'm hoping they are. Cardsphere.com, proud sponsor of the Am I the Bowlcast show, the only podcast in Magic the Gathering. Cardsphere is just, you got to get your cards here, buddy. You got to do it. So the last big order I got from Cardsphere was a bunch of stuff from Duskmourne that I just had added to my list going, if it comes, it comes. Just kind of laissez-faire. I've been brewing online more than in paper, and I've been thinking, you know what? When this arrives, maybe I'll get to putting them in decks. Guess what, baby? A lot of stuff came at once, and now I might as well just start a binder with every card in Duskmourne because why not? It's my favorite set in a long time, and I might just do what Morgan's been doing with Odyssey Block, but for Duskmourne. I've really enjoyed Duskmourne.
So, interestingly enough, if you're trying to get all the cards from Duskmourne, that also includes all these cool foil treatments, which includes like the double exposure and like these, like, what are they called? Like, they're not fractured foils, because I think that's Pokemon.
Fractured
but
foils, I think.
We have a new article series on Cardsphere that's called All That Glitters, and there is one on Duskmourne that is live as of today. So that's going to talk about all the different like foil treatments, and also the fold factor, the crimp, cringe, crimpy. How do you say? Kringle?
The leaking.
The Pringle factor? Situation. The Pringle factor. I think that's right. That's the scientific term that we give
to the Pringle factor.
That's right.
As the Pringle factor. You are a learned woman who went to college, like you studied probability and math and a bunch of different things. You are a doctor in your fields.
I've read the white paper actually on pringling. I do consider myself something of an expert. But we've got pictures, a cute little video there if you want to see like what these cards
and
actually look like.
Cardsphere.com?
Yep. It's on the blog.
Unbelievable. You know what? It's fun that I did not know about this. It's fun that organically a new article dropped today and we're talking about it. I do really love that. I really like the synchronicity here because, again, I did just get my Duskmourne stuff. Just like I had a bunch of stuff on the list. It's coming in, baby. Loving it. Loving that Canada gets stuff so slow from the US. It is what it is. I can't be mad at it. The systems are, you know, they're working, but they're slow. So I'm finally getting my Duskmourne, even though we're in the throes of Foundations. And yet, also today, we're talking about the foiling treatments and Duskmourne and all the different things on the articles. That's very fun. I want to say, if you are not a Cardsphere user, you got to get on there. You got to get on Cardsphere.com. We've got a referral link in the show notes of this podcast. You can click on that, sign up, and they'll know we sent you, which is always good for us. But I spend some time on Cardsphere. Right now, I'm waiting for the one guy who has a Plagon Lord of the Beach to drop it from $32 to something friggin' reasonable, okay?
So who is this Lord of the Beach? Who's the Lord of the Beach?
Lord of the Beach is, first of all, whenever I hear Lord Plagon Lord of the Beach, I think of the song King of the Beach by Waves, which we're not going to play for you here because that might get us struck down for copyright purposes, and we're not going to do that to us.
Even smited, if you will.
But Plagon is one of my favorite legends from the Jumpstart set. Currently listed at $32 American when it should be less than $5, and it will be eventually. So I'm not going to up my threshold for that. I'm not buying it at $32, but I want it so bad. Plagon is a 0/3 Starfish Wizard for 2 and a blue. One Plagon Lord of the Beach enters. Draw a card for each creature you control with toughness greater than its power.
All right.
For a hybrid Azorius mana, either a white or a blue, target creature you control assigns combat damage equal to its toughness rather than its power this turn. Wow. Okay, first of all, yes, I have to pay a mana to turn this guy into a 3/3 every time. But of course, I have been brewing this deck for all week, and every time I feel like I'm playing an accordion because I will get to like 105 cards and be like, I only have 5 cards to cut from this. Okay, let's see if I can make that happen. Ooh, but what if I took it in this direction? Uh-oh, 130 cards. Now I have to cut 30 cards. Okay.
There are a lot of big booty beach babes in Magic.
Are there ever?
Big booty beach babes in Magic.
So many great cards. You don't know. Just randomly have big butts. Guess what Combo-tastic machine has for a big butt? Peregrine Drake, a 2/3? 2/3 for Peregrine Drake. It's on theme. How could I not include it? I could not include it if I didn't want to make this high powered. But I think of all my decks, this is probably, I don't know if this is going to be CDH viable, but it might be the one to tip me over the edge and finally make me build a CDH deck. I think I'm ready to play white and blue, maybe some stacks effects, maybe a little something something. And okay, is it time already? I think it's time already. All right, Morgan, I think we got to get into the other side. I'm going to get on the phone with our guests, and then I'll come back, and we'll talk all about my Staxi CDH deck that I'm about to build.
We ride.
We ride. Okay, I'm getting to your phone. Here we go. We're talking on the... Caller on the line. Who do we got today? Who am I speaking to?
Quinn, I don't think it's a direct voicemail. I think it's actually a person.
Yeah, they're on the line this time. Hey, gamers. Empress Quinn here, and I've got the homie Cole with me. First time, long time. I had a...
immediate bit, like, planned ahead of time.
We do this all the time, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we're like professionals or whatever.
I guess so. Oh, yeah.
Get it. Lovely to hear from both of you. It's the folks from Heroes Blade Vibe Check calling in. What's going on, Cole, Quinn? Nice to hear from you. You know what? Give us your names and your voices so people can hear you again one more time.
All right. Well, this voice that you're listening to right now is Cole, and I'm one of the co-hosts of the Heroes Blade Vibe Check, coming to you every couple weeks talking about your commanders and if they'd like holding this fancy little equipment that gives it +3/+2 for free.
And I'm Empress Quinn, and I have an insatiable thirst for blood and try to satisfy that by going to combat every turn possible.
I love it. It's so fun to have you guys calling in. I'm so happy to hear from you. It's been nice listening to the podcast, and because I mean, ever since I found out about it, I'm listening to it. I'm a big fan of you guys on stream. I love what you do, and it's just fun to have you call in. Oh, welcome to Am I the Bullcast, the podcast where we're going to find out whether or not you're the villain. So,
well, spoiler alert, I may or may not be a villain.
That's everybody calling in, Cole. Come on.
Yeah, that's the point.
That's the point. We have to sometimes you have to embrace being the villain a tiny little bit, you know, just for fun.
Agreed. I just built it's a long time coming, but I just finished building and sleeving my Rakdos the Muscle deck.
Yes.
Yeah. I did take out the Forsaken Miner combo though. I took that out.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, props to you.
Yeah, it's too easy. It's in the sideboard or whatever.
Well, yeah, it's just Rakdos, Phyrexian Altar, and the Miner, or Rakdos, Warren Soul Trainer, and the Miner, as long as you have a way to gain life back from the Soul Trader payment, you know? So it's like, all right, cool. It could even be Carnival of Souls. Don't even get me started.
Let's go wild.
Don't get
Carnival
me started.
Of Souls.
Carnival of Souls.
The sky's the limit as long as it's not your life total.
Uh-huh. What a little card I keep forgetting exists, and that I just pulled that one right out of my butt.
Yeah, you gotta have some guts to play that one though.
Oh yeah, it's whenever a creature comes into play, it's not even your own creature, you lose a life and add mana, and you're like, playing against a token deck, good luck.
Yeah,
luck, just everybody. Have a sink, you'll be fine.
Listen, sometimes you put your hand on the wheel, and sometimes you're like, Richard Garfield, please take the wheel, and then you play a card and you let go, and then everyone's like, cool, dunk on you. See you next game.
That's what I love about red and black mana.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Quinn gets it.
We're just going Quinn for it, dude. It. We're just going to go for hell it. Yeah. We're gonna let Richard Garfield take the wheel.
Yeah. Red and black mana is the best way to tell everybody that you want another game to happen.
Whether it's going to happen in 10 minutes or 20 minutes from now, but by God, we're going to go. We're going to throw Descent into Avernus. And it's on. Let's go.
Truly one of my favorite cards in the game. I'm all about this long sentence. I like to advance the game state meaningfully via the reduction of life totals. And I really get to do that to the most effect in red and black mana.
Totally. 100%. Well, throw in a little white, you got yourself a little stew. You could throw in a little bit of like weenies on the ground. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's where we want to be.
I adore Grixis and Mardu aggro. Like, those are those are where I live.
Hell yeah. This is it. This is what's fun about, because I'll listen and I'm like, oh yeah, I want to play with these. And I've actually played with Quinn. Mm-hmm. I played with you a couple of times recently. Mm-hmm. Still haven't had the pleasure of playing with Cole. Speaking of Cole, you're like known for a particular deck, aren't you?
Oh geez. Yeah. I'm the only person on the internet that loves and appreciates Audric Bloodcursed, and I will not EDH rec percentage only has like 350 or so decks, and everyone's like, this card is trash. And I'm like, well, cracks knuckles, check this. Check this out. And then,
sorry, Kent.
you know, throw out, oh God. Well, I sent Quinn to the secret lair zone the other night.
Oh yeah, I did not see that coming at all. So I'm out here playing my assassin's deck, and Cole just nice. Like after getting his threats exiled twice by the Animus, he is just like he's had it with whatever I'm up to this game.
And yeah, no, I'm sorry. Just,
like Alpha strikes and then rips the extra combat and sends me to the secret lair zone. I did not see that coming.
Great train heist is a Magic the Gathering card with kicker, I mean spree, and sometimes that's all you need to send one target Empress Quinn to the secret lair zone for having the audacity of exiling my super duper very dangerous should definitely be exiled bombs from my graveyard.
I'll be happy Iromas got a victory and
Gisella Blade of Gold Knight.
Yeah, Gisella Blade of Gold Knight.
So I'm just both like cards that need to get gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I'm a graveyard guy. Any you touch a graveyard, I get offended no matter whose graveyard it is. But yeah, that's the correct move. You can't blame.
It's objectively the correct move. I was still incredibly salty about it. And said, all right, GG's, see you later.
Mm-hmm. You can be playing the correct move and still get bodied. It's fine.
Well, you know what? Before we get into your story, Cole, because you teased it here. Tell everybody, give us a little bit of like an elevator pitch about the Heroes Blade vibe check. And let me tell you, it's coming in with an endorsement from your boy. So listen up, get in there and subscribe immediately. But if you want to know what it is you're subscribing to,
yeah,
it's yours. Take it away.
Like, you can't go on Am I the Bowlcast and not like bring that mutual energy, because like what you three do with this is great. But let's take a second to talk about what we do on our end.
Oh, yeah. Bring it.
So I used to do a podcast called the Uncommon Commander Podcast because Captain Ripley Vance came out in Modern Horizons 2. And I was like, why is this the only uncommon legendary creature in this set? That's weird. And then took off for like, God, what was it, 80 episodes or something. And about like 60 some odd episodes in, I had the brazen idea to be like, hey, Jim LePage, would you tell me if you think your commander that is not an aggro deck, it was like his Torwaki Obosh, like one mana value deck. I'm like, would you equip this sword to your commander and turn it sideways? And he's like, no. I'm like, okay. Shelled that bit. Didn't do anything with it. Then I'm like, nah, let's bring it back. I'm done with this old one. Quinn, come with me on this journey. Let's talk about it. So basically, if you play the Hero's Blade in your deck, does your deck and your commander benefit from having it? So, you know, hey, your lovely flying trample Rakdos, for example, does it love having extra power on board? Does that extra toughness matter for blocking, for attacking, and all that other stuff? So it's just a simple two-mana equipment, you put it out there, you let it exist, you play some legendary creatures, you see what happens. And most of the time, people are like, we need to kill your commander. And that's the premise. That's the whole thing. That's what the whole podcast is about, is talking about.
It's also my soapbox to talk about my brews that I've been up to lately and games and experiences that we've had. We just like, I have an audience if I talk about it here, so I'm going to. And people have enjoyed it so far.
I'll say it does turn Rakdos into a three turn clock if it's equipped. Although you know it's three instead of four turns, but like, you know,
I think that's important. Shortening the amount of time that people think that they have is a way to win games.
It is shocking to me how many decks of mine are literally like, put out things, now hang back and do some other stuff. Quinn, I could not be like further away from what you like to do in terms of I like stay out of the red zone, but I don't pillow fort. I'm just like, I'm going to make a lot of little guys. They're all going to die. They're going to come back and they're dead again and they're back again. And they're
typical
dead again.
Aristocrats player. I see who the bolus is this episode.
It's me. Where do you think it started? Yeah. Well, the last time we played against my Taysa deck, I think, right? The new the one from Murders at Karlov Manor. Yeah, real aristocrats with artifacts deck that I quite enjoy.
Really, yeah, it's a really cool deck.
That does actually sound super fun.
It's a good time. Look, there's a lot to be loved in black. Black is the best color in Magic, full stop. Don't even get me started. Straight up.
All right, it's my second favorite, but you know what? It's your podcast. I'll let you have that one.
What's your first favorite?
Oh, it's red. Obviously, it's got to be red. You can't have Rakdos without red, you know? It's going to go hand in hand. It's the whole experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, I want to get to the story because you teased it early, and I'd love to hear what the story is.
Well, you see, it's not really a story. It's more...
Uh-oh.
It's more, well, maybe it is a story, but this doesn't involve Quinn, but Quinn understands the vision, you know?
Yeah.
So we sit down with some friends of ours, and I had just put together a deck, Furia Judge of Valor.
Oh, right.
All time.
Carry on.
The Orzhov Ancient, hold on a second. I got to read this one for the listeners.
Furia's a whole thing.
Furia Judge of Valor, 2WB for a 2/4 flying lifelink angel cleric. With whenever you cast your second spell each turn, look at the top 3 cards of your library, 1 to your hand, and the rest in your graveyard. So 2 spells per turn.
Right. So
okay,
you're not drawing the cards. And you know what one low-cost card really fits well in this deck? Spirit of the Labyrinth.
Spirit of the Labyrinth.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're kind of in this nebulous point in Commander where everyone's got their opinion on how to engage in the format and the power level they want. But sometimes you're like, hey, I'm going to put this highly interactable Stax piece or whatever you want to call it into play.
Yeah.
And just be like, hey.
No, that's a Stax piece. It's fine. You can call it.
Okay, totally. Fine. Say it with my chest. Like Quinn says all the time. It's a Stax piece.
There you go.
And boom. My friend
was
like,
"Base in there, buddy."
Oh no, I can't do anything about this. And then I'm like, I cast a second spell right after this, and I draw my one card and bring two of them. So it's kind of like the story is just kind of the stepping stone of like, hey, sometimes it's okay to play a blind obedience. Sometimes it's okay to play a Thalia Heretic Cathar. And if you go a little bit further, you know, that's not quite my style, but we're talking about a little light stacks, you know, just a casual 1 or 2card inclusion. Sure.
In the format of this podcast, the question here is, am I the bullish for responding to potential arms races or just like other people doing things at a rate of which I am not able to match by just playing the occasional stacks piece?
Thank you for formatting it for the show. I appreciate you, Quinn.
Quinn's good at
it. I'll say... This is very fun because I can guarantee Solani's on the other end of this episode, just tenting his fingers like Mr. Burns. So excited to talk about this. The man loves his white. It's so fun.
Yeah.
And it's also, it's fun that you bring up Spirit of the Labyrinth in particular.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. Blind Obedience gets a lot of hate, but it's like, it's a great card.
It's fantastic. I love that card. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's a 2-mana enchantment that tells your opponents, hey, artifacts and creatures enter tapped on your end. Do you want it to accelerate with treasures? Boom. Nah, not today. You want to accelerate with your mana dorks? Take a turn off. Hey, guess what? Extort's tacked on so I can, you know, stave off a little bit of hate by tacking 1 extra mana to my spells and gaining just 3 life. Just to keep me around a little bit longer, because now you've got my number. You know
what
I mean?
The lovely cherry on top. Mm-hmm. I love that card so much.
Yeah. Spirit of the Labyrinth, on the other hand, is so funny because it's one of the most fragile creatures to ever be printed.
It's a 3-1. It literally, you sneeze and it dies.
It's a 3-1 with 2 of the most destructible permanent types.
Yeah, like Magic. It's one thing. Listen, you can Doomblade it. It's okay. But you can also like go above and beyond. You can naturalize if you're still one of those retro gamers. You know, we got options.
You can. What's the card I'm thinking about? I think it's Zap. I think.
Was it literally 1 mana, 1 damage or something?
No. 3 mana, 1 damage.
Oh, nice. Oh my God.
It's from Invasion. And I've always thought it's one of the funniest names in Magic because it's just so pointlessly small. It's 2 and a red for an instant, deals 1 damage to target creature or player. I think it might have been eradicated.
Wait, probably it should be everything now. Yeah.
Yeah. Zap deals 1 damage to any target, draw a card. So it replaces itself.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to be like, if this thing doesn't cantrip, you know?
No. Of course it cantrips, but it's like, there weren't There's not a lot out there.
This just reminds me of flick a coin.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. That's
you do that, make a treasure.
Yeah, flick a coin. You do that, make a treasure. It's and you draw a card. It's yeah, exactly. So flick a coin is literally zap with upside. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Truly, it's zap with a bit of a discount. But think about it. It's like you're cycling away a card to deal one damage or something. And maybe in a Judith deck where you're like giving it death touch to take down somebody's like big beefy beater. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Guess what doesn't need death touch to kill the spirit of the labyrinth is like this little ping. You can kill spirit of the labyrinth with a Tim. You prodigal sorcerer mm-hmm. this son.
You see,
you know, it's
Quinn yeah. has a philosophy that really I love in that. You can apply pressure by attacking people, and I'm not going to block with my 3-1 if even if I think it's favorable because I might want to keep it
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely, you just like look at the math on or look at the mm-hmm. board state that they have and determine how highly they value their creatures against your mm-hmm. creatures and their life total. And if all of that adds up favorably, just go for it. Swing at them, make them have it. Because like if you win that, you get rid of a creature that you didn't want them to have, and otherwise they don't block and you get in for damage and get your triggers or whatever. It's a win-win.
Or play Lightning Bolt.
Win-win big time.
Or play- yeah, Bolt is actually hell, still hell, good in Commander gamers.
Play Bolt or hell in this in the spirit of the Labyrinth, play a Shock. Why not?
Yeah, you know what? Go low as you can because it's still going to die. Truly.
It's so funny to me that this is the one that people are like, that somebody was like, I can't do anything about
it,
this.
It wasn't, it was a pretty grindy game. And unfortunately, it just attacked his deck from the angle that I did not foresee doing that much damage just by existing. It was just, yeah. Okay. It's one of those circumstantial things where some people want you to declare not all the things about your deck, but like, hey, what do I expect? And look, as long as you don't throw out a Dockside Extortionist without talking about it, because that's always going to be big impact for someone somewhere. But a Spirit of Labyrinth as a one of, and you're not really backing it up with all those other pieces. Like, I'm not playing Winter Orb and Spirit of the Labyrinth in a Commander game. You know, it's only going to be auto blind obedience, Authority of the Consoles, maybe, you know, but never more than that.
The thing about stacks is that it used to be that stacks could really mess with a player's deck because the player's deck couldn't do much to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're at a point where the power creep is caught up to like everything. Oh, so stacks is just stacks isn't just back on the menu. It's like necessary to have jank anymore.
Look, it's not a Drenith Magistrate. Like let's relax, you
truly.
Know.
Truly.
I mean, I played that on occasion. I do like my thing is turning off life gain and the mm-hmm. occasional rule of law. So I play like Forsaken Wastes in a lot of decks because people think that they're going to be able to life gain, and I'm trying to win through combat here. I can't have you gaining life and also doing your turn.
But it's my favorite thing, though.
It's indistinguishable from a time walk to me. So I just like I'm turning that off. And the rule of loss thing, if you're casting a bunch of spells and my game plan is to like curve out and cast one like a big creature every turn. If I'm playing a rule mm-hmm. of law, that does not interact with my game plan like at all. I'm fine. And a lot of other like air quotes casual decks are fine to just play one big creature every turn and be chill about that. So it's just
totally.
Like, you just blow that up when you're tired of it. And
yeah, when you're done.
Fine. It really like enforces the kind of game that I'm looking to have. I'm finding.
That's like, I'm thinking like, you're totally right. When it services the theme of a deck,
mm-hmm.
how can you be too, like, if it isn't just the theme, like I know that there's people out there that the theme is stacks. The game, I'm going to put you in a vice grip. I'm going to squeeze until you can't take it anymore. And then my game plan is to either wait until you say, this isn't fun anymore, I quit, or, you know, turn 80, I deck you, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. That kind of stuff sucks so bad. But
yeah, I've been on the receiving end of Gaddock Teague, and you're like, ugh, terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not fun when that happens. Like, I think that, in your example, Furia, what is it, Judge of Valor.
Yeah.
The fact that you were like, oh, I'm not actually drawing these cards. I'm going to be able to slow some people down in this deck that already needs so much to do anything.
It's, you know, it's a two drop. I could play another two or one drop after it.
Yeah, it works so well with the deck. It's kind of like how why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's perfect for it. Just like Quinn, you said that your deck is like, I like to play on curve. Here's one big thing.
Yeah, my particular like deck example is Ultra Magnus, actually, the Transformer, because
gonna need to look this.
Oh, sorry. Let's throw out all the card names. Look it all up, Mikey.
So this Anaya Transformer. So it's got too much text to begin with.
I cast him on
it
the
cares
back
about
side.
Artifact creatures.
He's a 4/7 with haste, and when he attacks, attacking creatures get indestructible until end of turn. If those creatures have power 8 or greater, convert Ultra Magnus. So for starters, my game plan is to cast a 5 mana commander, which is like, it's not looking great in the air quotes high power casual metagames these days.
Definitely.
The really cool thing though is the front side. When Ultra Magnus attacks, you can put an artifact creature from your hand onto the battlefield tapped and attacking. And if you do, you convert Ultra Magnus at the end of combat. So if I'm playing a Rule of Law, then I cast my one spell and I use Ultra Magnus's attack trigger to put another spell essentially into play for free. Without actually casting one. So it gets around the Rule of Law. I'm taking two actions compared to everybody else's one.
It's pretty gross.
You're breaking parity.
Giant robots.
Yeah. You're turning it into an asymmetrical effect because you've planned for it. It's not even like that the effect is asymmetrical. It's that you've built this. You're working towards this idea and like,
and
that's
it helps me have time to like show everybody that idea too, because otherwise you die too quick.
Yeah, you got nothing left. What's nuts is like, okay, you're telling me this is a fun idea, this is cool. I think what we're barely scratching the surfaces on is that this is one of White's strengths.
Yes,
and this is one of two of White's strengths that we're basically like either soft blocked from playing or completely frowned upon from playing, depending on circles. Land destruction and stacks are White's, like, part of White's color pie, and people it's a way to control the board to be able to use the smaller powered stuff or to, you know, knock somebody out of sequence, and you know, so it's just kind of wild to me that even now, seeing how out of control cards can get, that people are still mad at the idea of like, hey, here's a 3/1 enchantment creature that says only one card per turn. I mean, it sucks if you're playing against like an Arjun Shifting Flame deck that you know you're going up against.
Let's keep cycling those cards. Let's see what happens. It's like, whoa, slow your roll there, player. It's calm down.
Listen up. Riel the Everwise hates to see Spirit of Labyrinth.
100%.
But you know what, though? Friggin' Riel's got something to deal with this.
Yeah, well,
it's a creature. You can deal with a creature in these colors.
Look, the way I look at all of this is that we are the commander landscape of 2024 is a behemoth. Like, you can't fully comprehend everything. Everyone's going to be playing differently, and you find your group, great. But if you go out into the wilds, you gotta, like, you know, how do you ride that line of playing to White's strengths without being so overwhelming, while still applying pressure a la, you know, Quinn's Ultra Magnus deck. And oh god, what was the point I was trying to get to? But it's just,
you're getting it,
it's hard to ride the line for someone's not necessarily the villain because they do it in moderation, but I definitely feel like it's still that fine line to ride socially when you go out, because not everyone's going to be able to engage with it. But
right,
my point above all these types of effects is, at least it's not Hull Breacher.
That Jesus is
like
the name that you have invoked.
I know. Wow, let's bring the vibe way down. But the point being is that people are not actively benefiting from you not being able to attempt to draw cards. It's just simply says you can't. And let's play Magic fairly and properly as Richard Garfield intended.
Mm. I do want to shout out to ways that we can sort of do that same thing in blue. And if you do have a big creatures game plan that's blue inclusive, you can play Arcane Laboratory, which is the same text as Rule of Law. And I've been thinking about that to use in my Grixis Madness deck because I can cast spells at instant speed. My Cedrus the Traitor King Grixis Reanimator deck because his activated ability of Unearth isn't casting a spell. And all of that will like buy me time to see my game plan out.
Oh, that's so cool.
Hell yeah. That is fun. That's like, see, that's what I'm talking about. Okay. Magic is so fun that you got these effects that cause like make you kind of add a package to your deck in the sense that like I'm realizing that there's like this neat little like it in some circumstances this is a drawback. Like my deck is so mana hungry that I can only play one spell a turn. Mm-hmm. However, there is this thing that allows me to do a little bit extra, but if I make it there, how do I take advantage of that while also making sure that I can get there? Arcane Laboratory, Rule of Law. You can only play one spell a turn. Oh, guess what? Activating ability, not a spell.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And again, like you mentioned Hull Breacher, I'll throw in Leovold in there. Like it's not turning off people's like Rhystic Study either. Like if somebody's playing into a Rhystic Study and not paying, they get to draw a card.
They get to draw, yeah.
They draw one card, but they get to draw the card, you know? Esper Sentinel, same deal. Like, Fairy Mastermind won't trigger, but what are you going to do about it? Like, you're going to send that fairy in the sky to hit now. It's like, that's what it's good for.
Yeah, turn it sideways, put some plus one counters on it.
Flying creatures win the game? Wow, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah. This guy's got flying. I'm pointing at Rakdos again. I'm very excited about it. This is the fun one. Been taking too long to make it. It's wild that you were like, I might be the villain for this take, and I've been thinking about this for a while. I'm so excited to talk about it. I'm giving my co-host nothing to talk about on the other end of this. Like the meat's off the bone by the time we get there. I'm so stoked that you're like, yeah, I played Spirit of the Labyrinth in a reasonable way. Am I the bad guy?
Am I the bad guy? Well, you know, I had to throw a softball first and then maybe we'll see if we can wind our way up. But I think, I don't know. Could it be worse? Definitely. It could always be worse when it comes to those type of effects. But I'm OK with some people who are like, I put in like three of these types of cards. You're like, OK, I can work with that. You can work with that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're in total agreement.
Love that for us.
Okay, I'm good. I'm not a villain this time. I now have to do something heinous in another game and come back again and be like, actually, this it might be me this time.
Yeah, let's play some weirder cards.
Some weirder cards?
Weirder cards. Ruder. Be rude. Oh, say okay, it with your ruder. Chest.
Yeah, I mean, look, you mentioned Dranith Magistrate before, and look, as a Prosper player, not a fan.
No, but you don't say.
But also,
what are you
going to
do with all
Prosper
Rosa? What are you
going to
do with
coming.
All those treasures?
I agree. Prosper's too powerful. You throw down a Dranith Magistrate, what happens is I start digging for my Bedevil or what, like the one kill spell I have that doesn't require exiling.
Hope you don't exile
anything.
It.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you for your concern. I hope you didn't play an Uber Mask already. I did. That's a problem for everybody.
Who would do that? Who would do
looks
that?
Like, looks like I'm swinging with my commander, a 1/4 death toucher now. You know what I mean? It's just, and then you see some people at the table being like, I actually don't mind this Dranith Magistrate now that it keeps this in check. And you're like, that's a new dynamic to the game.
Oh, know? That's the beauty about commander is that one person's trash is another person's treasure. And when you get too greedy with treasures, we need to keep you on planet Earth for a bit, you know?
100%. Oh, one time there was this Sanctifier on Vec, and I was playing a Rakdos deck, and that card is just Sanctifier. Like everything on it.
Oh, right.
In black mana. But there's this other gamer who is also on a graveyard deck in those colors. So I'm just like, this extremely sucks for me, but it also sucks for them, and it sucks more. So I'm just going to get real cozy under this
we'll
deck.
We'll ride that high.
And we're going to let it rock.
Yeah, I remember seeing this printed, and I was like, it's not funny. And the thing is, you know what? Modern Horizons 2 came out, and I bought a bunch of like pre-release kits to share with my buddies. Like I gave them all pre-release kits, and we hung out and played them, you know, distancing enough. Like outside and stuff, just tried to make that work.
Mm-hmm.
I opened like 6 Sanctifier on Vex.
That's rude. As to the guy who plays Mage.
It's so rude. It was such a. It's not like I don't get enough from people being like, hey, maybe try building a deck without black. And I'm like, why? You know, I've done it. I've got Grand Warlord Rada and Estrid the Mask.
You've had your veggies on the side.
Yeah.
And now you're good. You're going to go back to the main cores.
Technically, my Una Queen of the Fey deck is only black because she's black. Like, she's blue-black hybrid, but I only play blue cards in it.
Nice.
There you go.
Come on now. Same thing for my Azorius Clones Lick, but Timna's the only thing that's black in the deck.
Gotta love she's that hybrid mana.
She's not, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
She's like black, white, and then there's Sakashima, and I'm like, I just want clones. But I mean, the only other white partner that I could think of that was like maybe something was Livio. And I was like, this
the flicker
this
one,
is
yeah.
Cakes. This is doo-doo cakes. I don't like this at all.
It's an extremely mana.
A lot of mana.
And that Livio, yeah.
Really, really, really bad. I've also been like, hey, does anybody want me to like exile their thing to like bring it back later? Huh? We can maybe make a deal.
I'm offering. Does anyone want to partake? And they're like,
and people were not interested.
Yeah. You can't. Sometimes you offer this nice little tasty cake on a nice plate, and everyone's like, come on. Like, I can be nice. And they're like,
yeah,
I don't trust you. And you're like, well, cake for me then.
I think I've seen that best is like a Jeskai flicker deck with just piles of mana ramp and like high impact ETBs to like really make it matter when you're spending that mana.
Right. Because you got to make sure you keep them around. Anyway, Livio is a bit of a bummer of a card. I really wanted him to be good.
I hope he's somebody's Bloodrick.
I hope so too.
He's somebody's Bloodrick. That's such a fun way to put things. Is that like even recently? I listened to an EDH Recast episode where Joey was like,
"Oh, I saw that
the new Audric was a disappointment."
And what I'm a collage! Like,
I immediately was like,
"No,
oh,
but
Cole.
My friend Cole loves that."
I was in chat. Yeah. I was like, "I'll show you. I can prove you wrong. Trust me." Have a bad game. Nothing works.
It's so specific. It also reminds me of like how at Commander's Herald there's somebody who does the Minotaur reviewer.
Mm-hmm.
He reviews
Minotaur
cards. So just effectively reviews Rakdos cards and cards with Minotaurs in the art and stuff. And that's just so niche, but it's their thing. Every time there's a set review, we got a review for the Minotaur, and it's like, all right. I didn't even notice that in the art pack then.
Would
have never picked up on that.
Not a wolf.
Dan Sheehan, Secret Lair.
Yeah. And Quentin's like, oh, there's a questing beast. I'm like, wait, what? Enhance. Oh, there is a questing beast. How would you know if you weren't looking for it?
Huh? Yeah.
I was looking for it. I love questing beast.
Yeah. He's in the art, by the way. He's the waiter in the.
Yes, I did see that. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice
that. The caretaker card.
That's
awesome.
Yeah,
it's very fun. Also, shout out to Dan Sheehan. For the, I think one of the few Secret Lairs of that run that sold out super quick.
Right just away. Completely. Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't even get my hands on it. I was too late.
Yeah, same. It was a really cool Secret Lair. I'm sure all of the Wolf gamers out there are extremely pleased.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shout out. Yeah. And you know, if you're scalping, I don't approve. But anything else, good for you.
You got it. Playing, good.
Cool. I mean, is there anything else y'all want to talk about before we dip out? Do you have another story? It feels like you came, you were like, I got something a little controversial. But little did you know, you're talking to a fellow and franchise player who's like,
right,
white's
yeah.
only got so many things. It's okay to let white breathe.
It's just the last episode they were talking about like Stax as like the villain. And I'm just like, oh, no, I'm about to come on here and talk about this in a positive light. And we're just going to get roasted. And that's not the case at all.
Well,
you're
I mean,
like, oh, you know, there's a time and a place. And yeah, sometimes that time and place is right now.
Look, the call's going to end. And if we get roasted, that's part of the episode. It's part of the fun.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I'm trying to think of. Again, I don't have many decks that don't have black. I think the other deck that I forgot that I have that is not black is my Savine the Chronoclasm Brash Taunters deck, where I got every version of a Brash Taunter type thing.
Very cool.
And like damage based wipes. And, you know, it's basically at a point where like I'm starting to cut the clones that I put in as placeholders because the deck's fine, but now I need every time there's a new Brash Taunter that comes out, put it in, coach, get rid of this
Barb Servitor. You're like, it's not another one.
It's Army so close. It's so close. It's not just guy. It's not in the right colors. Barb Servitor broke my heart. Speaking of, you know,
am I the bullest for writing an angry letter to WotC for not making the card in the color combination that I wanted to?
This card every didn't time cater card to me specifically. I say,
Why can't I add this card to my Audric Bloodcurse deck? Why do they have to make it a color that's not red and or white?
Snaps for me, straight up. Just snaps the whole way. Is Bloodrick running Zatalpa? Are you the person that they keep reprinting Zatalpa for?
Once upon a time, I did, as a matter of fact, along with both the mono white Achromas, but as usual, power creep occurs, and then you're like, maybe another day, maybe a different deck, but also, why don't we have alternate artwork for Zatalpa yet? They can't keep getting away with
it. I would love to see a borderless Zatalpa sometime. They keep printing the same one, and they did get an etched foil, which was nice, but gamers, I want to see that borderless one.
I kind of think, hear me out.
Yeah.
April Fool's Day Secret Lair.
Don't you even start.
No. 1-800 are you flapping? We got that. Okay. That Zatalpa. Yes.
You won me over.
With white border. Now we're talking.
Okay, you lost me again.
And no. Come on now, Cole, listen up.
Am I the bullest for hating white border cards?
I'll say it here too. Fair. If you hate white border cards, you're like you're weak and you're not going to survive the winter. You gotta be more courageous.
I'm not done with the borders yet. We get one full art Zatalpa, one white bordered Zatalpa, one gold bordered, silver bordered, and one regular ass black bordered, just like all the other ones Zatalpa.
Oh my god!
I'm all the way in.
Why are
except the black border one cannot come in foil. Zero chance it comes in foil.
This is, and you've heard it here, folks. Mike Herroza is the bullest for making the most evil, nebulous secret lair you've ever
heard.
It's printed
to demand on April.
That's
April
incredible.
Fools.
That would do numbers, I promise.
It would do, yeah. WotC,
I think
if
it might
listening
do more than the Comic Sans one. That was what even, a dissonance yeah that was.
Alternating that text was so fonts. Loud. Oh, jeez.
Look, that's not the problem. Is the art didn't match the stupid.
Yes.
That's what that bothered me.
Gorgeous artwork.
The art didn't match the stupid.
I liked that layer.
You did? You liked that layer?
Yeah.
You thought it
hilarious, actually.
Yeah, I think it's.
I mean, it's effectively doing what it was supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, people got
getting
killed
all tilted
people
about this because
salt
the text doesn't match the art and the art's on. Or the text is all in Comic Sans Quinn, and then Quinn's, the silly font. And I'm just like, that's extremely funny. That's a good
Quinn's
bit.
All about the bit. It's all about the bit.
Totally.
I'm a bit appreciator.
same. It's the most fun. When something stupid's about to happen, oh my God, I'm so pumped. I'm so excited for the dumb thing to happen. You know, like whenever there's like an episode of like game nights or something, and you could see from a mile away that they're setting up that the descent into Avernus is going to kill somebody, or like Jimmy keeps missing on land.
I don't know
like,
how he manages to keep that up.
Somehow he plays his ancient tomb kills him at the end of the game. You know
that's
what I mean?
A classic, like, though.
It's so funny. What a dumb little bit to be doing
repeatedly,
just to like end your game. And that's like, embrace the fact that there's no stakes here. We're just having fun.
Mm-hmm. True.
We're just having fun. Isn't that a thing that we're forgetting with discourse every day? We're just having fun. It's a business that's making us have fun, and we're taking it so, so seriously.
How about you play Magic instead of running your mouth talking about Magic? And then... Well, hold on. Because then... Uh-huh. You can be like Quinn and I and get back to the microphone after playing a bunch of games and then talk about it for a couple hours and then get right back to the action.
There we go.
It's an exciting gameplay loop. I encourage replicating
it's very fun.
But then how would we have the content creators out there who create content but don't have Magic cards and don't actually play the game? Isn't that a thing?
Is that a thing? I don't know.
No, I would hate that. If there's actually a person out there who's like, I don't play Magic, I just like to talk about the game. You're like, all right, cool.
I don't know. I like talking about Yu-Gi-Oh, but I sure don't play it. That's for sure.
I like talking about other formats I have no idea about. It's very fun for me to speculate on, like, well, this looks like it'll do work in Legacy, and somebody's like, a four mana 2/2? Like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it's good because it's four mana.
Am I the bullest for liking a Magic the Gathering card and having a good hypothetical idea in my hand, and then this rando on Twitter says, no, it sucks? You're like, fine. Fine. Sorry for having a dream.
You know, here's the thing. If you're being theoretical about your deck, you're trying to make that happen, that's the song that your heart keeps singing. That's the most fun part about deck building. Leave the dumb card that you think won't work. Prepare something to sideboard in if you want to be more serious that day. But let me tell you something. One of these days, you'll get to do the dumb thing that your little friggin' the little buzzing in your head told you to do, and it's going to feel so, so good. And let me tell you something. It doesn't always have to be Magical Christmas Land for something to go well, because you know what? Some people like Magical Christmas Land. I don't like calling it that. Some people like the ideal world that you're creating when you're brewing your deck. And sometimes you're at a table where those people are visiting too, and they're there for a good time. And guess what? You get to have your moment. I love deck building with that kind of playgroup in mind. I love knowing that I did not put Forsaken Miner in this Rakdos the Muscle deck. Infinite Combo Win is not in this deck. Unless I'm sitting down with people who are like, we want to play something higher powered, I'll be like, I'll swap this out for the one dumb card I kept in. And that is that friggin', I forget what it's called. It's the epic spell that you can't cast anything else.
Oh, no, yeah.
I think it's called Undying Fury. No.
It's got to be God, epic.
I have to find
epic,
it.
Epic something.
It's something or other.
It's an Undying Flames. Oh? Undying Flames, four red sorcery. Remove cards from the top of your library from the game until you remove a non-land card. Undying Flames deals damage to target creature or player equal to that card's CMC mana value. And then it's epic. So for the rest of the game,
it's the only thing you're
cast
casting.
Spells. You can't cast spells. So at at the beginning of each of your upkeeps, you copy this spell, and then you get to just exile from the top of your library until you hit a non-land card, and you deal that much damage of mana value to any target. Enjoy the rest of the game. It's so dumb.
It's
Why
bangers.
Wouldn't you want to do this?
It's bangers all the way down, though. You're dealing so much damage.
Well, exactly. The whole idea with Rakdos is like, here's a 7-mana card that I'll be casting for 2 most of the time. Shout out to Dargo. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a
magic. It's easy
heard.
To get there. Yeah, so you're going to... Oh, oops, I exiled my Dargo. Guess I'm going to do 7 damage to your face. Now I'm going to activate my Coffin Queen to get something out of a graveyard. Oh, look at me using resources, huh? That's the thing. I saw this card and I thought this is going to be perfect for Rakdos. Is it going to be bad for me when I cast it sometimes? 100%.
Like 99.9% of the time, it's not going to be
absolutely.
Great.
Is it a cool always. Card that you could pick up for 30 cents?
It's style points at that point. It's for style.
If anybody has a friggin' foil copy out there that you want to let go for the cheap, I can't find any where I'm looking. But I may be on Cardsphere. I'll have to do some trading.
Maybe. Look, all I just know is you better be buying some other cards if you're bringing it up to Canada where we are, Mike, because otherwise, it's brutal coming across the border.
Yeah, it's not easy. You get some the tariffs and taxes. I didn't realize you're Canadian.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's come up in any of the episodes.
Weird. I thought it did come up. It's usually we have some friends over here that. Me and one of her friends, Benoit, the meme is him and me pointing at something in the background. We have transparent cutouts of us. And then he's like, oh, the Canadian boys are dissenting into Avernus or something like that. So, yeah, West Coast,
East Coast, baby. We're fighting. But I mean, look, we've been talking for a little while. Why don't you let the folks at home know where to find you, what to check out? And then we'll get to the other side of this interview and have a chat with Solani and Morgan.
Well, you can find me at Uncommon CMDRNTG because
this is Cole, by the way.
This is me. Yes, Cole, the Bloodrick guy, the Blood Feud guy, and God knows, guy with cute cats on Twitter sometimes. Uncommon CMTRNTG. And then you can find us both at HBVC_MTG, where we'll be talking about Heroes Blade Vibe Check and asking questions and check out the podcast on YouTube and Spotify and all that other stuff. And Quinn, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Girldic Energy. I run my mouth in the Twitch chat at Girl Redacted Energy. I be co-hosting the MTG Lexicon Twitch stream on Saturdays playing Magic the Gathering and the podcast with Cole. You can find all of that in the Twitter bio. There's also a link to my Moxfield where I've got all the decks that I'm brewing, the wild stuff I'm getting up to. Check all of that out.
Hell yeah. Be sure to check out Heroes Blade Vibe Check. I recommend it big time. Follow Cole and Quinn online, and let's head back over to the booth to chat with Solani and Morgan about whether or not Quinn and Cole are the bolus for doing what White's supposed to do. Oh my God, could I be tipping it any harder?
Later, guys. Okay.
And we are back. Thank you so much to Cole and Quinn of the Heroes Blade Vibe Check podcast for joining us on today's episode of Am I the Ballcast. Really appreciate you folks calling in. Thank you so much. Check it out. Listen to their podcast. I know I talk about us being the only podcast in Magic the Gathering, but and while that is true, it's also true that they also have a Magic the Gathering podcast that is very good. It's a very funny time, and I hope by the time, oh no, this is coming out next week, never mind. I'm going to be on in the new year, and I'm excited to do it. It's one of the Magic podcasts that I enjoy listening to, and I'm looking forward to being on. And shout out to Cole and Quinn. They it's the right vibes. They're such a good time. I've played a couple games with Quinn on stream, and Faye is so much fun to play with. Never leaves a combat on the table. Faye goes for it, and I love it. I love it. I live for it. Great on you, Quinn. Cole, we got to play a game at some point, but Quinn, always love when you're joining a pod. So shout out Heroes Blade Vibe Check.
Vibe Check is just as important as a bolus check to us.
Bam. Folks. Hell, what a stamp of approval. So get into it, follow them, and check out the podcast. Morgan, before we dive into the bolus question, I have to ask you about our voting system. I noticed in that conversation, and it might feel like, well, you knew that Michael wasn't going to be on the podcast. Why'd you bring him up so much? Oh, you know, time traveling, and also these episodes are recorded.
Well, he did make it out of the rat hole, like you said. Oh, that's right. That's news to me. I thought he was still in there, and you know somebody else was writing how they brew it. That could have been ChatGPT. I don't know. Like,
you know what? He's just very quiet on today's episode on the back end. Oh, he's here. Oh, I'm putting my arm around somebody who's off screen. It is an awkward thing to have these episodes recorded so far back and then to have one of our co-hosts no longer on the podcast. But it is what it is.
Stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have happened. This podcast is now in French. Donc, Morgan, si on va voter ensemble, j'aimerais savoir, c'est combien de points par vote?
Yes. So,
thank you.
For the folks at home, that basically just means that my vote counts for one, and Carosa just decides whether my vote counts for anything at all, and it counts for everything. So, we made the math a bit easier. It changes depending on who's here.
It changes.
But that's
with us being two, it does make it easier. Yeah, I think, on the map.
I wouldn't say easy, Mike, but you're not the one reading these reading these papers from Harvard. But I mean, I appreciate your support that way. But yeah, it's not any easier.
It's not easier, but the way you explain it, it makes it seem easy.
Yeah. I think French has a way of mathematical concepts, and French are like, just, oh, that's how we should say it. Right. But
oui. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, speaking of we need to get to the Am I the Bolus question posed to us by Quinn and Cole.
Yes.
Give it to us, Morgan. What do we got?
The Heroes Blade vibe check wants to know, am I the bolus for intentionally slowing the game down with a stacks piece?
And this in specific was about Spirit of the Labyrinth, one that slows down card draw. And I kind of tipped my hat in the conversation. Morgan, I'd love for you to have a moment to chat about this. Give us your opinion on stacks pieces like this.
So Spirit of the Labyrinth is a great example. I was a Born of the Gods girly back in the day. Love the card. But yeah, of course, it's like Blind Obedience, right? It's just a classic stacks piece. You're always going to be playing it if and when you can. Another fun one for me that I actually just got from Cardsphere is this cute little Secret Lair Ashiok Dream Render, which has a pseudo-staxy ability that says spells and abilities your opponents control can't cause their controller to search their library. So anytime you have like a don't thing or a don't or a can't or you aren't able to, consider that a stacks piece. And this is also exceptionally funny to me because I went to go play Commander at the brewery last night. And there was a wonderful gentleman who was my podmate who played a Lethal Vapors on turn 5. And Lethal Vapors, to remind everyone, in case you've probably never heard of this card, is 2BB enchantment from Scourge.
Nice.
And it says, whenever a creature comes into play, destroy it.
Hell yeah.
It also has an activated ability that costs nothing other than destroy Lethal Vapors. You skip your next turn. Any player may activate this ability. And so when you're in a commander game, right? For the folks at home who maybe don't know what happens when you're in a commander game, you're playing with 3 other people. There are 4 of you. So there are 4 opportunities for this card to go away, which also means one person has to skip their turn at least to get this thing out. If you don't have any enchantment removal, right? And mind you, I'm playing my squirrel deck. I get Chitter Spitter out on turn 3. I've got Odd Acorn Gang out just now. And guess what? No more squirrels for me. Odd Acorn Gang gets canned. Lethal Vapors. I'm here chilling with nobody, with none of my friends. Mm-hmm. But see, here's the thing, right? So that's the setup for my story, okay?
Right.
My opinion, though, is that the person who played this was like a little far, falling a little far behind, even on this turn 5, right? So, I mean, in Commander, you get like this kind of setup situation. Everybody gets their mana and their rocks, whatever they mean. Some are faster than others, blah, blah, blah. But this guy's like falling a little behind. So, you know, not getting the mana, not getting what he needs. Throw down Lethal Vapors on turn 5. Why not? Why not? Mm-hmm. See what happens.
Why not?
It changes my opinion. Play the stacks piece and have it change the game versus lock people out entirely. So my sad thing was I could not make squirrels with a Chitter Spitter, right? That's a bummer. But you can do some really funky stuff with Enter's abilities with something like Lethal Vapors out because of stack trickery and priority, right? So you can technically still play creatures. You can still play creatures that have abilities, but, you know, managing the stack effectively is where that comes into play. The big thing is that there's also this thing where you can destroy it if you skip your next turn. That's like politics, basically, right? Like, who's going to skip their turn? Are you going to protect me on my next turn when I don't have a turn?
Yeah, thank you. Exactly.
So it's an interesting...
It changes the game in a big way.
It does. It doesn't lock people out of the game. Like, I feel like maybe there's some card combinations that lock people out of the game. But if you just are staring at one Lethal Vapors, we can handle it.
So here's the thing, right? Lethal Vapors is not the subject of the conversation at the moment for Cole and Quinn. However, it is one of the more interesting cards in Magic that I have yet to find a home for, and I've just thought of it. I have an ever-changing Dane deck, which is focused on creatures dying. And it can turn into the creatures that are dying. The creatures want to die. They're the Kamigawa dragons who have dies effects. A lot of aristocrats decks have dies effects, all that kind of stuff. And so when you're playing a thing and it gets destroyed, you're kind of fast tracking that death thing that you want to happen. And if you play it, and let's say I have Everchanging Dane, I play a Kamigawa dragon that's about to die. Well, I can also just pay one and use Dane's ability to sacrifice it in advance. And then now my Dane is a Kamigawa dragon once it's already in play, you know? So that's already a fun little, like, ooh, maybe I'll play it in that. However, knowing what this can do to a table, it kind of lets people shy away from stuff. So Spirit of the Labyrinth is the one that we're talking about more, which is like each player can't draw more than one card each turn. Guess what? It's not telling you you can't draw cards anymore. It's not like ruining your ability to plan ahead like Teferi's puzzle box. It's just saying this ridiculously statted 2-drop, a 3-1 enchantment creature spirit. Enchantment creature, double the removal options right there. It's a 3-1, triple removal options if you correct, like if you count ping. And all it does, it says, hey, slow your drawing. You don't get to draw 2 cards.
All this does is punish the serial Rhystic Studies player. It's not. It's not even a Stax card to me. I'm sorry. It's just. Even, I hope you play this if you play white. This you is know good what? For if, me.
If you know you need more time to get into the late game and you need a way to stall, this is such a nothing card. It's like it'll do what it needs to do, but it's like it shouldn't ruffle feathers. It's like Blind Obedience is the same thing. It does suck because maybe you don't have any blockers, and Blind Obedience isn't going to let you have any blockers either. You know, like you can play a thing and now, oh, it's tapped. Great. Same with Authority of the Consoles, which just got reprinted in Foundations. The thing is, that's also part of a strategy. If I'm playing a Boros aggro deck that's mowing down my opponent's boards and needs them to be open to attacks, well, then I'm going to need to find a way to keep those attacks open. Do I play something that says that creatures can't block? Maybe. Maybe I play Bedlam. Maybe I play Blind Obedience that makes sure that when my opponents are rebuilding their boards, I still get the swing in. There are applications for these kinds of cards. And what matters most, and this is the point I'm getting to, is there has to be thought behind it. I don't think that just playing a Stax piece blindly is the way to go. Of course, it happens because, you know, sometimes these cards are just cool. They're like, you know, Spirit of the Labyrinth is a cool looking card and it doesn't do anything too oppressive. But say Dranith Magistrate looks like a cool card to you and you think, you know, there's some exile draw that's getting out of hand. I'm going to play it. That's enough of a reason. Hey, your pod is overrun with like a Prosper deck and like a Rocco deck or anything that's like people keep playing from exile. It's fair to meta that. Like if that's what you're playing against and you don't have a leg up and those decks keep getting established by turn 4 and you need to get to turn 7 before you do anything, like, yeah, find your tools. That's the thing about this game is like there's a lot of faux pas in Magic, especially in Commander, because it's a game that comes with feelings. Let's be real. Magic isn't as a game doesn't care about your feelings, but you're playing a social format where we're not necessarily enemies when we sit next to each other the whole time. We can be allies at some point or, you know, ambivalent, but we are definitely still against each other. That's just how it goes. And of course, some people's feelings will be hurt when you like shut their stuff down or you damn them to like an hour and a half of not being able to do something because you played Stasis, and that definitely sucks. If you play like a dedicated Stax deck and the table isn't ready for it, that's not the right move at all. But this feels like playing a couple pieces to ensure that you're not run over. Totally fair. I can't be mad at that. So Cole and your associate Quinn, not the bolus. That's my vote. Not the bolus. Morgan, what do you think?
Not the bolus. I completely agree.
Not the bolus. There we go. That's true, a pretty easy one, I think.
Eugen. I think people will disagree, but again, and
true Gene.
True Eugene. As a colleague of mine once said, it all depends on the context. And really with Stax, the context matters more than absolutely anything. Because you're staring down one card versus multiple shutdown, lockdown pieces. It's very different. Mm-hmm. And also, it's just outside of that social aspect, it's fun to try and like play around a thing that is scary, in my opinion.
Yes.
It completely changes your mindset of like, you know, I couldn't pump any more squirrels out of my chitter spitter. So, and I can't cast any squirrels. So what do I do in the next couple turns to kind of set it up, right? Like, how do I reestablish my presence?
If you're playing a video game and there's no obstacles, are you going to have fun? No, you're just playing a walking simulator at that point. Like, you're not...
And maybe you do, and that's fine, too.
Yeah, sure, if that's how you're doing it. But, like, at the same time, come on. Having a hurdle to jump is normal. And it adds variance and excitement to what you're doing. I have softened to Stax lately. I think that's showing, especially now. Do I reach for Stax pieces to put in my decks? Nah, it's not on my priority list. There are too many cool cards that do stuff for me that I want to do that I put those out and I hope that I can play or politic my way into not needing to slow the game down forcefully with, you know, a stacks piece. But if it comes to it, I'm not averse to doing it. Why would I be? You think Thalia, Heretic Cathar is not worth putting in a deck? Like, it's basically blind obedience, but for non-basic lands. So your creatures and non-basic lands, your opponent's control, enter tapped. Fair. You know, like...
The scariest thing about blind obedience is the fact that it has extort to me. Not even its entire ability, but all the extort cards are honestly, just a little too good.
Yo, you know what? Shout out extort. Extort, low-key, crazy mechanic.
One of the best mechanics of all time. Powerful to say. Like, one of the most powerful mechanics of all time is extort. Because you put it on something like blind obedience, and it's kind of like, yeah, we can get over blind obedience. No, like, I can get, but oh, that extort is happening, girl. It's happening no matter what.
What was in Ancestral Visions was part of a cycle. And what was the white one called? It literally prevented 3 damage. It prevented 3 damage or made you gain 3 life. And that's extort right there. Every time you're tacking on one of the cards from the same cycle as as Ancestral Vision. You know, I think it's Healing Salve. It's got to be Healing Salve. Yeah, it is. Healing Salve, 1 white mana for an instant, gain 3 life or prevent up to 3 damage from being dealt to a single target. Yeah, so you're basically getting a Healing Salve on top of draining the table. Yeah, it's great. Extort rules. I love, you're talking to an Orzhov champion. I'm into it. I live for it. And this coming from an Aloro girly makes sense.
Yes.
So we got our verdict in. I don't know how much we have to say on the back end other than I did want to say we're in the throes of Foundations right now. And Jumpstart 25 with, first of all, I mentioned Plagon. Plagon's the only one of the anime arts that I don't mind. It's goofy, it's silly, it's fun. But man, I don't care for the anime art so much, even though I really want Rev Tithe Extractor in all my black decks, let's be real. But that said, I will say Foundations has been an absolute home run in my experience so far. I haven't seen complaints about the set, and that, as a Magic player, you should know, is rare and strange. And wow, I'm so impressed with the set. I'm so impressed with its reception. And I've opened some cool stuff at pre-release that I didn't expect to be so versatile and cool. Like, it's interesting to see the way Magic has grown. And if you haven't played any Foundations or you haven't gone through the file at all, go for it. Head on to Scryfall or get on Arena and play a draft. Like, the set is kind of like a love letter to where Magic was and where it is now. And I'm really enjoying that. I'm really enjoying the throwback nature of having Sarah Angel and Shivan Dragon in the set, but also having, you know, some, like, they finally put Exquisite Blood on a creature, the only type of effect otherwise, and I opened a full art version of that guy at my pre-release, and I'll tell you what is it, Blood Tithe Conqueror or something? Either way, unbelievable card, really brutal. Like, you can't win. It's a crazy swing. Ah, man, Bloodthirsty Conqueror. That's the one.
The return of core sets, and the fact that this will be legal until 2029 is pretty insane.
5 years. It's pretty bonkers. Think about.
It'll be in print. There's the positivity around new players getting into the game is always fun for me. If you have any new players in your guys' play group, have them listen to our interview with Beth, Queen of Cardboard, to get some of that, like, social side of Magic, and also just any of the Am I the Bolus episodes from the past. We talk about these kind of faux pas in Magic and the politics and the social aspect as well as the cards. So it's fun stuff for a new player to kind of just dive into. You don't need to know too much about the game to kind of get a feel for it if you want to play Commander.
They've also got those beginner kits that are pretty solid. They come with,
I wanted to buy the starter kit thing because it came in like a really shiny box.
I know.
It gives you like, and I'm like, oh, I want it. There's too many shiny things.
I
want it,
but I don't need most of those cards, you know? So I did get a bundle, and I thought, but you know, the bundle got me. Because I wanted the box with Tiny Bones on it. And also that big die.
It's Tiny Bones box?
Oh, I got it here somewhere for you. Let me show you.
Oh,
here,
man. Oh, see, yeah, I got to get it then.
Tiny Bones.
Heck yeah.
It's a bundle with Tiny Bones on it.
Oh, man.
It's very sweet. Anyway, Just wanted to end on a high note here with a little bit of positivity to let you guys know that Magic is fun, and that's the focus. That's what it should always be. So I hope you're out there having fun. When you're sleeving up a commander deck and you're filled with excitement for your next game, carry that over to the game. Be kind, be fun, but also stand up for people. Don't be the bolus. Be a real Ugin, a true Eugene. And also, and I know I said I want to end on a positive note while also bringing this up. Currently, we're living in a space where a lot of people feel emboldened to be brazenly hateful. And understand that if you first of all, this is a safe space and my DMs are open. I'm happy to chat with anybody if you're feeling a certain way and you need support and somebody to hear you. Just know that we're out here. This is a safe space for anybody but bigots and straight up pieces of garbage. So trans lives matter, black lives matter. Free Palestine, all that good stuff. Let's just put that out there. And if you disagree with that, isn't it nice that you can turn off the podcast and never interact with me again?
Better believe yourself.
Anyway, sorry, Ken. Point is,
we love you.
People feel emboldened right now to be classless people who are awful. And as a community, it is up to us to be on the lookout for that stuff and to stand up to it. So with foundations, with all these new people coming in, make it safe, make it nice. If someone is mistreating somebody else, if you don't feel like you can step in, make sure you speak to somebody who can. If you do feel like you can step in, keep yourself safe. Make sure you stick to facts and let them know that it's not how we do things. That's it. Keep Magic fun, cool, and honest to God, just human. I love this game. I love all the friendships it's given me. I'm so thrilled to like have this podcast going, to be writing articles, to have people emailing me every day with stories that they're like, hey, was I a bad person? And sometimes, yeah, but a lot of the time it's just like, it's a huge step that you're asking. And a lot of those emails start with, I've been reading the column. I love this column. It's so nice to get those emails. I have all of that. I feel amazing because of this game and because of the people who play this game were on this level with us. So Magic the Gathering should be a good, safe space. Don't be a dick. All right. That should do it. Morgan Sanchez, where can people follow you online?
I am on the website that I still know as Twitter at Indigo Gentleman.
Gorgeous. I am also on Twitter at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza. I'm also on there as Am I the Bullcast. So at Am I the Bullcast, you can follow this podcast on there. Follow both those accounts on Blue Sky at Mike Carrozza and Am I the Bullcast over on Blue Sky. Give us a follow there. It is much less upsetting on Blue Sky these days, is how I'll put it. I'm also on Instagram at Mike Carrozza. Check out my comedy album, Cherubic, my comedy dates. I don't know where I'm touring, but for the most part, if you're around Montreal, come check out a show. And let's see, what else is there? Oh, yeah, tell people about the podcast. Check out cardsphere.com. Lots of stuff to be said. You know, shout out to all our pals, Bonebox Games. Shout out Bonebox Games. You know what I mean? Shout out to Michael Solani, even though he's no longer a host of the podcast. We still love him. CommandersHerald.com is where you'll find my column, Am I the Bolus? And where you'll find a bunch of different article series by many talented writers. So all that to say, it's time to scoot the day. Thank you so, so much to everybody listening. And also to our sweet editor, Ken Peddle. Mwah! Love you, buddy. Thanks for doing what you do. I'm in a good mood. Isn't that nice? Foundations. This is Foundations' job. This is what it's doing to me. All right. Happy November, everybody. Have a good one. Good night. It's also daytime if you're listening to this in the daytime. Eventually, I'll finish the episode. Have you stopped the episode yet? Yes, exactly. Have you stopped the episode yet? Oh, now it's the bonus episode. All right. Could you imagine I just started another one? I should really stop talking. At some point, I think I'm going to stop.